We welcome you to the Mormon Channel in this episode of Past Impressions, where we discuss important people, places, events associated with the history of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Brent Topp, the host of this program, and with me today is Professor Larry Porter, Emeritus Professor of Church History and Doctrine from Brigham Young University. Larry, I'm grateful to have you again with us on this program to talk about some of the great people and events associated with the history of the church.
Thank you. Joseph Knight is one of the signal personalities of the early church in Broome County and the Colesville branch. Joseph said, Mr. Knight and his family were Universalists, and the old Universalist chapel meeting house in Afton or Old South Bainbridge just was torn down this year, and that beautiful structure is gone. They were Universalists, but were willing to reason with me upon my religious views and were as usual friendly and hospitable. We held several meetings in the neighborhood. We had many friends and some enemies. Our meetings were well attended, and many began to pray vocally to Almighty God that He would give them wisdom to understand the truth. Amongst those who attended our meetings regularly was Newell Knight, the son of Joseph Knight. Joseph, after he had completed his work with Josiah Stoll, at least for a moment, went down and worked for Joseph Knight, who loaned him his cutter to go down and visit Emma, and with the results that we have heretofore mentioned, that he married the girl January 18, 1827. The Knight family, when Joseph Smith was in need for on the translation of the Book of Mormon, he would bring down to them taters and whatever was necessary, and brought foolscape paper for them to write. And so he's there, and he's interested, and his sons are Newell and Joseph Jr. And other family members are very interested. Just speeding ahead. Joseph Knight is true to the faith and true to Joseph from beginning to end. And many don't realize, I don't think, when Joseph Smith met Sidney Rigdon in December of 1830 at the Whitmer Farm, and the Lord commanded Sidney and Joseph to meet the people and to shore up the various branches of the church, they really carried that out to the nth degree. And one of their trips was down to Broome County and to the Colesville branch. And Emily Austin said that Sidney Rigdon was generally thought to be the best preacher that they had ever heard in those parts. At the time they went down, they also dropped out the bottom and went down to the great bend of the Susquehanna, where Joseph met with Emma's father and mother, and Joseph conducted some business on his property, which he had left behind. But Joseph Knight got wind that the mob was going to meet Joseph on the way back at the Colesville Bridge, so he sent his son to warn Joseph. And then, as they had planned to go to Ohio at an appropriate time, Joseph Knight said, we had planned to go anyway, and that was a good time. He left instructions for his land to be put in the hands of a power of attorney, William Waterman. He was the person who took Joseph and Emma by sleigh over to Kirtland, where Joseph arrived about February 1. Of 1831. Joseph Knight was the teamster, and he had his wife, Polly, and he had his daughter with him on that occasion, and they became the front runners for the Colesville branch, who would come by mid-May later on. Later on, Joseph in Nauvoo wrote up Joseph Knight and his sons in the book of the law of the Lord. For 15 years, Joseph Knight has been faithful and true, even-handed, exemplary, virtuous, kind, never deviating to the right hand or to the left. Behold, he is a righteous man. May God Almighty lengthen out the old man's days, and may his trembling, tortured, and broken body be renewed and in the vigor of health return upon him. If it be thy will, consistently, O God, and it shall be said of him by the sons of Zion, while there is one of the remaining, that this man was a faithful man in Israel. Yeah. And then he goes on and says nice words about Newell and Joseph Knight, Jr.
I would love to have the prophet Joseph Smith say something like that about me. Joseph Knight is one of my heroes, and what a great singular family. Newell Knight serves as a bishop, but Joseph Knight never has a real high position like we would think of in the church, and yet was so, so influential. You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. Today we're talking with Professor Larry Porter. And Larry, we've talked about Joseph and Emma's connection down there in Broome County, and also we've been talking about the Joseph Knight family and Josiah Stoll and their friendship and support of the prophet Joseph Smith. Some very important events occur down there in the Susquehanna area. Why don't you share with us some of the important, significant events leading up to those monumental events of the restoration of the Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthood?
Perhaps I could begin back in Ontario County in Manchester, and the frame home of Father and Mother Smith. Joseph has the plates in his possession. Just acquired them September 22nd of the evening of the 27th, 21st, and 22nd, and tried to work them into his work schedule. He and Emma were at the hill. And Emma was praying and with the wagon, and Joseph came down, and Joseph chose to secret the plates in the woods, which he did when he got home. He was without, but at his home were Josiah Stoll and Joseph Knight, who had come on a visit in September to be with them. They soon found that the word of Joseph Smith having treasure excited the mob, and the mob was very vociferous. Willard Chase and Sally Chase and the Lawrences and others were extremely active in trying to wrest the plates away from Joseph. And it became so extreme that Joseph felt the necessity of leaving and taking up an offer which Isaac Hale had made in August. Lucy had desired to claim her dowry. When she was married, she didn't go south. She went north and up to the Smith home. Her father was extremely angry with Joseph, and unhappy with his daughter. They'd gone in a different direction. But Emma said, "I have a dowry down there," and so. She contacted her father and said, "Can I come down?" And Isaac Hale said, "Yes, daughter, you can. Your milch cow is still yours." Hmm. Peter Ingersoll took them down, and Isaac Hale came out very unhappy with the situation, tears rolling down his eyes, and saying, "You stole my daughter." Joseph and Isaac Hale talked, and Isaac Hale said, "Come down, and we've got some land here. Whether we've got some opportunities for you, come down and live here in the Great Bend." And so he had an escape hatch. And in December, now when the mob was so active, Joseph Smith decided he would take Father Hale up on that. And so a wagon was sent by the Hale family, and Joseph and Emma went down and moved in with Father and Mother Smith. And in that situation, Joseph began to transcribe the characters, often referred to as the Anthem transcript, but those characters were drawn up. And Emma undoubtedly had a hand in it or an assist, but the characters were prepared. Martin Harris came down in February. He was very interested in what was happening. And he took the characters and took his wagon and went to New York City and there met with Professor Samuel Latham Mitchell. And Mitchell directed him to Anthem. And we don't have any depositions from Mitchell. Many of his possessions burned as his house burnt down and was early gone. But Charles Anthem apparently made a statement. And though he took his statement back when he found that an angel was involved, Martin Harris reconstructed events and reported to Joseph Smith and said that Anthem said these were true characters and described the circumstances of his visit. The Martin Harris then went back up to his farm and prepared to come back down and assist Joseph per their arrangement. In April. He was down there in early April. His wife, Lucy Harris, insisted that she accompany him, which she did. But Martin Harris unceremoniously took his wife back up to Palmyra, dropped her off, came back down, and was Joseph's scribe starting April 12th of 1828. And by June 15th, on June 14th of 1828, and Martin demanded or asked if the Lord wouldn't allow him to take the 116 pages which they had done north. And he was told no once, twice, thrice. But agreements were made that he would show them to select people. And those people being Lucy Harris, Preserved Harris, Martin Harris, of course, and Molly Cobb, who was really the sister of Lucy Harris, and had lost her husband, who had gone down on a schooner up on Lake Ontario. And so she was there, and apparently with a couple of children in the home, and was invited to. She was a Harris, and as I say, a sister of Lucy.
You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. We're visiting with Professor Larry Porter. And Larry, you've just been talking about the preparation of the 116 pages and what happens there, and then how do we get back down to the Susquehanna?
As previously mentioned, on June 14th, Martin Harris begged permission finally and received the same to take the 116 pages north to his Palmyra home and there show them to his family members, to Lucy and Lucy's sister and Preserved Harris, his brother, and Rhoda Nathan Harris also saw the 116 pages. They were inadvertently lost. He was told and indeed commanded before he left the Susquehanna that he was to show them to those people and no one else. But he decided that he would show them to any discreet person who came by, and many people were discreet. And in the process, the manuscript slips away from him. The day after Martin left, Emma lost their firstborn infant son. whom they later named Alvin. On his headstone on the Susquehanna, it just says infant son, who died the 15th of June, 1828. And Joseph almost lost Emma in the process. And finally, after a couple of weeks have gone by, Emma assures him that her mother, Elizabeth, can take care of her and knows how anxious he is. Joseph takes a stage and goes up to the Manchester home and sends a runner to bring Martin, who came down the Stafford Road with a measured tread, Mother Smith said, and pulled himself up on the fence outside and sat there with his head down. And finally they coaxed him in. He had not come at the appointed time and was coming late and was poking at his food. And Hiram said, what's the matter? Martin, have you lost your appetite? And he said, I've lost my soul. I've lost my soul. And Joseph was distraught and realized that there was a problem. And he said, Martin, you haven't lost the manuscript, have you? And he said, yes, I have. And Joseph walked the floor and wept continuously with that news. Martin Harris is persona non grata. He's not allowed to continue with the translation, having broken his covenant. And so Joseph Smith returns to the Susquehanna and does the best he can. And apparently Emma gives such assistance as she is able to do. And perhaps Reuben Hale also was involved. But Samuel offers his services, but that was short-lived. And so Joseph is without. Mother Smith said that, worried about him, she and Father Smith went down to the Susquehanna. And interestingly enough, on their way down, they stopped at the Whitmer farm and became acquainted with, personally acquainted with the Whitmers. Went on down and spent some time at Joseph's and the Hale place down on the Susquehanna. Mother Smith said that when they went down, they were glad to find that Joseph had received the plates back and the Urim and Thummim from the angel. And so Oliver Cowdery is walking into a situation where the plates are once again. And Mother Smith said that they had come back September 22nd, 1828, which is an interesting parallel to dates. But Joseph has them, and Oliver Cowdery is then in a position to assist Joseph, and he chooses to do so. As they talk about Oliver Cowdery having received a witness from the Lord when he prayed to the Lord that this was his work. And Joseph reminds Oliver of that experience, though he was not aware of it. So Oliver is online and prepared to go to work. He's arriving on the 5th, and on the 7th he's ascribed to Joseph on the plates.
You're listening to Past Impressions on the Mormon Channel. We're talking today with Professor Larry Porter, and we've talked about Oliver Cowdery now helping Joseph down in the Susquehanna area in the translation of the Book of Mormon, and we're now up to April 1829. Now, we know that an important event occurs 15th of May, 1829, down in on the banks of the Susquehanna. So let's get to how they get to that point and what happens on that monumental date.
On May 15th, 1829, the prophet Joseph Smith is in the midst of translation with Oliver Cowdery. And as near as we can tell from the descriptive, particularly of Oliver Cowdery, they would be in 3rd Nephi and about chapter 11. They're running into baptism and authority to baptize. And they had a desire to experience baptism, but didn't have the authority and didn't have the wherewithal or know what to do. And so they chose to go out. Mother Smith said that the Urim and Thummim helped Joseph decide that it was time to go out, which is an interesting facet.
Mm-hmm.
What direction did they go? I think we have always felt that they opened the back door and went down to the Susquehanna. Joseph had 13 acres, which he'd acquired from his father-in-law, Isaac Hale, and it fronted on the Susquehanna. There are a lot of directions that you can go in 13 acres.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of their prayers, a light descended, and in that light was a figure who called them by name, which is interesting. But they were addressed by the angel who identifies himself as John the Baptist and recognized that he was the one who had baptized the Savior, suffer it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness. And he gave them a direction. The priesthood has been gone for hundreds of years. The angel gave them direction. John the Baptist, a direct descendant of Aaron, the brother of Moses, and his father was a faithful priest. He had the right genes,
mm-hmm.
and he had. He said that he came under the direction of Peter, James, and John, who were, in effect, the presidency of the church in the meridian of time. He laid hands on their heads, and as a heavenly being, gave them the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, bestowed it upon their heads. And then he gave them directions to go into the Susquehanna River, and we know that they went in that direction at that time and entered the water. And there Joseph was commanded to ordain Oliver to the priesthood. And it's the office of a priest, and they're not a deacon or a teacher, it's the priest. And then Oliver was to baptize Joseph, and they exercised the priesthood which had been conferred upon them at that time. Then they went into the waters and baptized one another.
Interesting. You know, we have the account in the Pearl of Great Price in the Joseph Smith account there, and a lot of us have read that and are familiar with that account. But one of the questions that always, I think, comes up both to member and non-member alike is, well, you have that May 15th date, and we have a good description of what takes place there. But why don't we have a date on the restoration of the Melchizedek priesthood, and what happens with that? And what do the historical records tell us of what happened and when it happened?
Joseph Smith was not keeping a book on himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was not keeping an active journal. And Oliver was writing some things down periodically, but not a careful record. Was kept by the prophet. We know that on the 15th, the Aaronic priesthood was bestowed. Samuel Smith came down and visited with the prophet and was excited about the prospects of the new organization and this gift of baptism. And interestingly enough, on the 25th of May, He was baptized in the Susquehanna River. The Smith family is very much aware of things that are taking place, and at that time Hiram Smith also came down and asked what direction should I go and what should I do? And the prophet was not at that time prepared to give him the Aaronic priesthood or to baptize him. And so he indicated to him that first he needed to learn about the gospel and to understand it and to have that commitment that was necessary. And the prophet didn't determine that that was the case until June of 1829, when his brother Hiram was baptized in the Seneca Lake.
Now, Larry, I know you've written a lot on this. When do you think the Melchizedek priesthood actually occurred, and why do you think that?
Joseph Smith said that he and Oliver had gone up to Colesville and were with the Joseph Knight family, and that they were under arrest, and that they possibly at Coles Tavern in Colesville or wherever they were being tried, and that John Reed, came at the behest of Joseph Knight and acted as their legal counsel, and that John Reed's name is mentioned by a man by the name of Addison Everett as being involved. The prophet said that in this account, their attorney, their counsel, introduces them to a window situation, and they escape and go down along the Susquehanna by night, and they're pursued by a mob. Oliver Cowdery says, "Oh Lord, how long have we got to endure this thing, Joseph?" And at that moment, Peter, James, and John came to them and gave them the apostleship and gave them the Melchizedek priesthood. And Oliver didn't complain anymore. This is an interesting account which was given by Addison Everett to Oliver B. Huntington and also to Joseph F. Smith. This is the case, there's an interesting aspect that Addison remembered Joseph Smith speaking at the Mansion House and talking about having just been with Oliver Cowdery, and that Joseph then said, poor boy, in regard to Oliver Cowdery, and then went on to talk about the account that I have just given. That would place them in the account 17 miles from home, which would be in New York, on the banks of the Susquehanna, rather than in Pennsylvania, on the banks of the Susquehanna. There are a lot of problems associated with that account. Reed is an attorney in an July 1830 trial. And the pursuit of the mob is reminiscent of a later time.
So it's kind of mixing a lot of the dates.
He's mixing a lot of metaphors here. Mm-hmm. There is one valuable entry indicating that if the Addison Everett account is correct, that when he and Oliver got back to the Isaac Hale home and his own home, that the mob was hyperactive, and that the Mother Smith said that they feared for their lives, and Joseph is afraid for Oliver, and he's afraid for the plate. So they contact David Whitmer, who contacts his father, who says, by all means, go down and bring them up. And so Joseph and Oliver leave and go with David Whitmer. And David Whitmer said, when asked when the translation was completed, he said, at his farm, he said sometime between June 1 and July 1, which would suggest perhaps that Joseph is already, and Oliver are translating on June 1. Uh-huh. And so if this is the case where they're baptizing Samuel on the 25th of May, and down the line comes David and picks them up and takes them back by June 1, that somewhere in that time period, the Melchizedek priesthood had been restored, and David said it had not been restored on his return to Seneca County. So I think that we're conceivably talking about the latter part of May.
So that week, probably.
That week in which the restoration of the Melchizedek priesthood took place. There's no record of Joseph going back down on the Susquehanna to visit with Peter, James, and John. Huh. The translation and the publication of the Book of Mormon is going to lead in 1830, in March, of Joseph coming back up to be present for the Book of Mormon coming off the press or available to the public. And then on the 6th of April is the organization of the church. So by that time, April 6th and heretofore, and the window of opportunity seems to have been that latter part of May, that the apostleship and the Melchizedek priesthood had been restored.
Well, today, Larry, it's been very fascinating talking about these events leading up to the restoration of the Aaronic priesthood on the 15th of May, and then the restoration of the Melchizedek priesthood probably that last week. And so now we're ready to begin talking in our next episode about the organization of the church. So thank you, Professor Porter, for sharing with us the important events associated with the restoration of the priesthood.
Thank you.